You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Folks, as you know, Dissident Dispatches, an alt-right guide to Christian theology, has been the incentive for our fundraising drive throughout the month of September, our third quarter appeal. And we have been talking about it all month. It is, of course, about Christian theology. It gives voice to the ethno-patriotic concerns now fueling the growth of the secular alt-right movement. Both reject the ongoing spiritual degeneration and demographic displacement of every white European ethno-nation. But this book is much more than that. It is a personal memoir. It is the unplanned product of the culture shock experienced on all sides when an alt-right senior citizen, come cultural warrior, decides to rattle his politically correct bars by going to a theological college run by a church often confused with the Communist Party at prayer. That is the back cover of the book that I'm holding in my hand. Its author, Andrew Fraser, studied law and history, both Canada and in the United States as well, before moving to Australia, where he taught law for many years at Macquarie University. He is the author of The WASP Question and now, of course, this book, Dissident Dispatches, an Alt-Right Guide to Christian
numerous articles
theology.
In Occidental Observer, too, which are excellent, by the way.
He is a great asset for all decent people. Andrew Fraser now joins us live from Australia, the other side of the world, but we're all here together now. Andrew, thank you so much for being with us tonight, or today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's great to have you. It's been a long, long time since you were a guest on the Political Cesspool, though we did have an evening together in Arkansas a few weeks back where we both spoke at a book party, a release party for your book. I enjoyed having the time to fellowship with you there. Tell us what prompted you to write the book. Keith Alexander's with me tonight. He's going to be helping us with this interview this hour. My co-host, he has a copy of your book as well, has read it. First, let's start with the basics. What prompted you to write it?
Well, it flows, I suppose, naturally out of the book I had written after being suspended at Macquarie University, the WASP question. I began, after that experience, I began to wonder just why it was that some of the most hostile critics I encountered then, back in 2005, were some of my fellow white Anglo-Saxon Protestants and so on. So I wrote the WASP question, and in the course of that, it occurred to me that the problem that WASPs generally face is it's political, it's cultural, but it's also fundamentally spiritual. And that led me to think that, well, I really need to get a firmer grounding in theology. And as it happened, there was a theological seminary just around the corner from me, so I enrolled in that, somewhat naively, I suppose, encountered a hot pot of multicultural ideology there, both among students and among in the faculty. It was a culture shock for everyone concerned, especially me, I think. I was suspended after 1 year for various crimes against political correctitude. I went back, turned the other cheek, and went back after my suspension there was completed. And I began to find it an extremely interesting experience intellectually and personally. And I decided that I really needed to put it together in the form of a book once I was finished the degree.
Andrew, this is Keith Alexander.
This year. Sorry?
Andrew, this is Keith Alexander. Can you hear me?
Hi.
I have read parts of this book. I couldn't, I'll have to confess, I haven't read every word of it cover to cover. But the cultural Marxist long march through the institutions has obviously gone through denominational headquarters and through the seminaries, just like it has just about every other institution in Western culture that sets Western culture. And tell us, if you would please, what, in your opinion, is alt-right Christianity, and differentiate that, if you would, from the Communist Party prayer, which is what I think a pretty good short description of what mainline Protestantism is, both in America, Australia, England, Europe, generally.
Well, I suppose in a nutshell, I mean, alt-right Christianity is in my view, let's put it that way, I mean, is a way of taking ethno-theology seriously, and involves a kind of a rejection of the cult of the other, as I describe it in this book, that pretty much dominates contemporary Christianity, whether Catholic or Protestant. And to me, it's just a matter of taking, in effect, the Bible seriously as the story of the rise and fall of the first holy nation. And that's what the Bible is, from Genesis to Revelation. And in my view, it provides both a warrant for subsequent Christian nations and a kind of a warning to those nations about what happens if you fly in the face of the law of God.
Well, Andrew, let me ask you this. Have you now that you've gone to seminary, been able to find a church that you think is consistent with your conservative viewpoint, which is an informed viewpoint because you have studied the Bible now, I'm sure, quite extensively. In fact, the book is almost like a diary of every one of your confrontations, I think, with the faculty.
I'm having trouble hearing you, actually. I'm wondering whether I've... Let me just fiddle with my phone and see if I've screwed up the volume here.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, that's much better, yes.
Okay, we seem to have deficient equipment down here, so bear with me and be sure to tell me if you're having trouble hearing me.
It's not the time zone differential, it's the day. It's the differential in day. He's a week ahead.
But what I was saying basically was, have you been able to find a church that you feel comfortable in that basically teaches what your study of the Bible has caused you to conclude is the true word of God?
Right.
We'll save that question until the next segment. We now for a break and some words from our sponsors.
All right, we'll pause right there, folks. Mull that question over, Professor Fraser. Much more from Andrew Fraser tonight on TPC Live. We're in Memphis, he's in Australia. We're making it happen for you, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen from around the world tonight. We'll be right back.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Folks, it's an amazing book. It's an amazing man. It's an amazing story. Professor Andrew Fraser, who spent a career teaching law. He was a law professor. And then rather than retiring, he decided to go to a theological seminary and obtain a degree in divinity. And this book, Dissident Dispatches, An Alt-Right Guide to Christian Theology, is his memoir. It tells you what it was like to be a traditionalist in a left-wing seminary. And it's just an amazing read. I gave it to Keith. Said he's read a lot of it, but not all of it. The reason is I gave it to Keith a week ago. I said, read it before we have Drew on next week. Well, it's 506 pages before you get to the index. So Professor Fraser generously shared his experiences with us, and it's a book that we want everybody to have in their hands if they're listening to us tonight. Keith, you asked a question right before the break. Repose it to the good professor, and we'll get his answer, and we'll go from there.
Well, let me say this. Can you hear me, Andy?
Yep, you're fine now.
Okay, let me just say this. The way I put it is that modern churches, mainline Protestants, and now, alas, also Roman Catholics and fundamentalists have exchanged the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Their true religion now seems to be liberalism rather than Christianity. And my answer to you is, now that you have really studied the Bible in depth in seminary and you know what you think, have you been able to find any church that you really and truly feel comfortable in that you attend on a weekly basis?
The short answer, I suppose, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, good.
I can hear you well.
I am very much attracted to the Anglican Church. The problem is that both branches of the Anglican Church, the so-called low church and the high church, are totally invested in this cult of the other that tends to confuse the worship of Jesus Christ with the worship of brown people. So I do feel very uncomfortable in most existing churches now. And there isn't really one that does try to root itself in the spirit and blood of a particular people, the way Christian faith grew out of the experience of ancient Israel.
Let me say this. I come from a similar background. I'm a member, or was. I grew up an Episcopalian. My mother was English and an Anglican. And as my father said, any man that tells you he's the boss at home will lie about other things, too. So he said he took care of all the big items and agenda items, like whether Red China ought to join the UN. And mother made all the little inconsequential decisions, including where we went to church or what we had for dinner or where we lived, things like that. Well, so I come from a similar background. I had to get out of the Episcopal Church USA because it was the church. It was following the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary. It was liberalism with a little veneer. But, I now belong to the Reformed Episcopal Church, which was formed in 1873, and that basically misses all of the big things that, we find objectionable. But I swear there's a guy that's supposed to be conservative in my church who said there's no such thing as the white race. I don't know where to go, basically.
Well, there's
myself.
Definitely a black race, or they wouldn't know where to go and be missionaries to. But, let me ask you this, Drew. Again, your book is excellent. It's so excellent. Again, we chose it to be an incentive for our quarterly appeal, and that really sets it apart. And I'm a big fan of yours. What would you advise for the Christian who is tuning in to tonight, who has been alienated from the church, a church that has alienated men who are the natural spiritual leaders of families, because to accept the gospel as prescribed by them would be to accept the suicide cult
of the left.
Of the left. So what would you advise to the Christian listening tonight, based upon your experiences as a scholar and as now someone who has gone through theological seminary? What would you advise the Christian to do in order to maintain their faith in a society that is hostile to them, and also in a society
institutional
in which
church
that is hostile as well? Go.
Right.
I'm not sure my advice would be useful, but what I do is just continue going to my local church, trying to establish some sort of credibility, intellectually and personally, and trying whenever possible to raise issues about the legitimacy of grounding one's faith in, the spirit, water, and blood of our own people. And just resisting this pernicious cultural Marxist cult of the other that is destroying us. I think you just have to, it's a form of cultural politics that is an alternative to focusing political struggles solely on the state. I think we do have to recognize that the church is an alternative space where it is possible to make claims upon our kinfolk.
Let me say this. Andrew, tell us what you had a nice exegesis of Psalm 22, and you brought up Pope Leo the Great's interpretation of it, and basically it gets down to this question that we discuss a lot on this show, which is Jewish dispensationalism. In other words, that Jews are still the chosen people, when I learned in Sunday school that Jews were the chosen people and were the bearers of the true religion up until the time of Christ, and then Christians became the true bearers of the true religion. And then, since then, we are the chosen people as Christians, And fundamentalists in particular have come up with this dual covenantism where, for example, Jews are going to heaven even if they don't accept Christ as their Savior, which is directly contrary to what I learned as a child. Tell us about your situation with Psalm 22, for example.
Well, I mean, to my mind, the point you're making brings up the whole issue of what some people call preterism, a word from the Roman preter meaning past, or covenant eschatology. I mean, the question is, you know, is the Bible a story of old covenant Israel that has a beginning in Genesis and an end in Revelation? And to my mind, we really need to understand that Revelation is a prophecy of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70. And from that time on, Old Covenant Israel was finished. You know, and a new covenant came into being where the church had a mission to go and disciple the nation. Not to disciple individual believers, but to disciple nations. And that.
Hold on right there. Professor Fraser, they call it commercial radio, unfortunately, because we have commercials. And I hate to interrupt you on such an important topic, but we do have to take a break. But we'll be back with you in the rest of the.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The New York Times is reporting that President Trump, quote, is deeply worried that his support of permanent amnesty to illegals endangers his standing with his populist nationalist base of supporters. The president has come around to believing that his meeting with minority leaders Schumer and Pelosi and an agreement on giving amnesty to 800,000 puts him at odds with his power base. Democrats and Republicans are scrambling in Congress to create an amnesty bill. California Governor Jerry Brown has returned from visiting China, carrying with him an idea to revolutionize his state. The governor wants to copy China and ban the internal combustion engine in cars. Mary Nichols, chairman of the California Air Resources Board, says, "I've gotten messages from the governor asking if it can be done." The governor has certainly indicated an interest in why China can do this and California can't. Nichols says that for California to meet the goals of reducing greenhouse emissions, the state has to pretty much replace all engines. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email, LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's K-O-S-C-H-E-R-T-I-F-I-E-D.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Drew Fraser is with us, author of this book, Dissident Dispatches, An Alt-Right Guide to Christian Theology. We're doing the best we can with the time we got. Keith, I got a question I have to ask Drew. Actually, it's a three-part question. But first, you made an observation during the break that I thought you should share with the audience.
What I said was this book seems to be almost a diary of every confrontation that Drew had, or at least the high points of conflict and confrontation that he had with his professors on a wide assortment of doctrinal issues and parts of the Bible. And every one of those could result in a one-hour program, quite frankly. Yeah. And we have to, unfortunately, just kind of hit a very general type of approach on this in order to make much headway on it. And we apologize to you for that, Andrew. But
well, the book's an epic. The book is an epic.
I thoroughly understand.
Well, you wrote an epic, my friend, and every part of it would dominate a program in its own right. And, of course, we're trying to just skim the tip of the iceberg here tonight. Yeah. But I would ask you this. It's a three-part question. I'll ask them all at once, though. Of course, for the people who have been listening this month, you know if you donate $100 or more, you get this book as an incentive for your contribution. So you can do that before midnight tonight. You can still get in under the wire. So many people have bought this book through the political cesspool this month, and we're grateful for you. But if you want it, you can get it through us. Here's the questions, Andrew. How can people get the book otherwise, number one? Number two, what degree did you obtain upon graduation? And then more broadly, tell us a little more about the confrontations that you had while going through this journey to obtain that degree.
And let me say this one thing. The one thing that I drew from the book was the challenge to academic freedom that is now being, is commonplace in academia where they no longer tolerate honest debate on issues that they feel strongly about.
All right, so there's the questions, Andrew. Where can people get the book? What degree did you obtain? And tell us more about that journey.
Okay, the book is easily obtainable on Amazon.com or directly from the publisher Arctos, Arctos.com. That's ArkTos.com. The degree I received was a Bachelor of Theology with Distinction. That was just awarded, in fact, in August this year. And the third part of the question was, remind me?
It was, tell us a little more, because I think this is so interesting, your confrontations along the way.
Oh,
because obviously,
right, yes.
Yes.
Yes, in the first year, this is a college that offers degree or courses at several levels. You can take a 1 year, a 2 year, or a 3 year course. In the first year, there were a very large number of non-white students, predominantly Pacific Islanders, but also some Africans and Koreans and so on, including in my first year, a number of non-white women, in particularly interestingly, who were, I guess you'd say, anti-racist activists. And they had a number of events that year about white privilege and so on and so forth.
Real hot topics in the Bible, right?
Sorry, yeah, right, exactly, yes. That's the interesting thing. I mean, in this college, there is no problem whatever in finding a theological basis for national identity and the promotion of national identity if you are a non-white. it's only white people who are committing a sin by trying to preserve their own race. And so, you know, simply by saying that sort of thing in classes or in seminars, I evoked an enormous amount of hostility and accusations of racism, sexism, anti-Semitism. I don't think I was ever accused of homophobia, but that was the only charge I escaped. And so eventually they hauled me up before a university committee, gave me a kind of a kangaroo court trial, and suspended me for a year.
Well, you know, we have a very similar situation that's happened at my alma mater here in Memphis, where a kid basically reacted to the college professor and the student council denouncing Trump and his proposal on DACA. And as a result, he was given the choice of either resigning and having course credits preserved or being expelled and having no credit whatsoever for so many years of coursework. Which I find appalling. What an appalling thing to happen in academia, and it apparently happened to you as well.
Yeah.
What do you think can be done about that?
Well, once again, I think it's a question of just trying to persuade more Christians. I mean, if we're talking about theological seminaries and churches, more ethnically and racially conscious Christians to take their views and present them as calmly as possible to their fellow students, to their professors, to their ministers, and so on. And the more that happens, and the greater the number of Christians who take that course of action, perhaps you'll get a critical mass of people that will tip the balance. Because I think it's worth pointing out that after my suspension had run its course and I went back into the degree program, I discovered that actually the composition of the student body was substantially whiter. There were more Anglo-Saxons and more Anglo-Saxon men, and most of the teachers here were WASPs as well. And I found then that it actually was reasonably possible to conduct a civil exchange of views from then on. A lot of the heat went out of my interactions with both faculty and students in the subsequent years.
I found it very intriguing that you wound up graduating with distinction.
That's what I mean. I mean, they did eventually, I think, take me seriously. And I mean both staff and fellow students and so on. So I think it is possible to engage in,
convert.
I guess you could, the left would call it entryism, get in there and try to establish your personal and intellectual and spiritual credibility.
Your bona fides.
Well, Andrew, I would ask you this.
Exactly.
I would ask you this. So you had a successful career as a professor of law, a law professor. You go. What motivated you? I don't even think we talked about the most basically. What motivated you at what should have been the end of a career? What would have been the end of a career for a mere mortal? What motivated you to go in and pursue a degree in theology?
Well, I mean, essentially, the disappointment I experienced as a law professor with the spiritual state of the legal system and the legal profession. I mean, it's a legal system that is devoid of any spiritual or moral core. You know, as you can see, especially in the United States, I mean, the law is whatever some politically appointed judge says it is. There's no more
than that. Andrew, the cultural Marxist law march through the institution has gone through law school just like it has divinity school, and it's affected everything. Yeah. I loved your recent article, for example, about the no-fault divorce initiative and how that has affected marital relations.
Well, hey, that was a great article, and we actually reposted that. Drew, if you don't mind, we're going to keep you for one more minute after the next break, and then we'll let you fly and enjoy your Sunday afternoon in Australia. Stay tuned, everybody. A closing word from Drew,
and then
much more from TBC.
And come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Parting shot with Drew Fraser. I thought he gave an excellent answer as to why he sought to pursue a degree in divinity in the theological seminary after a successful career. Of course, you can get his book through Amazon.com, Arctos, the publisher, or through us. If you want to give us a little love, we'll send you the book in return. Lots of ways to get the book, but however you get it, we want you to have it. But I would ask you this, Drew, final question. Now that you have this degree, How do you plan to apply it? I mean, certainly we could use you as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, my denomination. God knows they're god-awful. Do you plan to apply it at all, or is it just something you wanted to do for yourself?
For intellectual curiosity.
Well, I'm afraid I'm totally addicted to the academic life. I've actually been thinking about whether I should do a master in theology degree, and
maybe that would be another book, but I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's right. More Dissident Dispatches. Yes.
Well, that's a fair enough answer. Hey, listen, thank you so much. I know it's Sunday afternoon as we're broadcasting live this Saturday night. I appreciate you being on with us all the way from Australia. It's great to have you. I think this is your encore appearance on the show. We love the book. We're big fans of yours. Stay in touch, and let's do business again soon.
You need to start preaching, okay. Drew, and have Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show in Australia, okay?
Thanks a lot, and thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Hey, bye-bye. Drew Fraser, everybody. Hey, listen, folks, that's been the book that we've been offering to people who contribute $100 or more to TPC in the month of September. So many of you have done so. In fact, the amount of support you've shown us this month has been simply tremendous. Keith mentions this. We've never envied to have any audience but the one that God gave us, and it's our honor to serve you and to work for you and to defend you. If you've not yet contributed to TPC this month, there is still, if you're listening to us live tonight, Central Time, there's about 4 hours and change left to do so. If you donate $100 or more via thepoliticalcesspool.org before the end of the night, you're going to get this book as our gift to you. We have one in the studio with us tonight. You can do that online. So many people have done that in the last couple of days. And, of course, you just heard from the incredible author of the book, Andrew Fraser, as our featured guest tonight. $100 or more before the end of the night, the book is yours. Keith, we received a couple of, emails and even a snail mail letter of correspondence that I'd like to share with the audience tonight. This one was really, really moving, and I want to read it to you and to the rest of the audience at large. It comes from a longtime listener, first-time correspondent from Colorado. Listen to this. Dear James and Cesspool hosts, I've been listening to your show for many years and have never written or reached out. As I stand on the cusp of my 30th birthday, I decided to seize the day and send words of encouragement to you all. I have benefited greatly from your weekly shows. They are both entertaining and informative, like a discussion with old friends. I live and went to college in an extremely liberal part of the country, and tuning in every week to hear the joyful forthrightness of James, the encyclopedic wisdom of Keith, as well as the lovable bombast of Eddie the Bombardier, was a breath of fresh air. It got me through some dark times. I've always said that if I could choose an America to live in, it would be what I call the James Edwards America, the simple, quiet life of faith, family, and friends lived with courage and good humor. So to be brief, thank you all. Please accept my humble donation of $50, and may you have many more years of great radio. It would be an honor to meet you in person someday. That comes... and he finishes it with God bless. That comes from Brandon in Colorado. I wrote back to Brandon and said that, of course, time doesn't permit us to answer all emails, although we would like to, but I did want to answer his. And I shared with him that reading notes like his reaffirms why we do what we do and why we're so open and honest with our audience. We make a purposeful attempt to build a relationship with our audience to the extent that we can over the airwaves, of course. But it's very heartwarming when those who tune in can pick up on our personalities and our eccentricities. And I told him that I'd read the letter on the air tonight, which I just did, and, of course, thanked him for the generosity of his contribution. But, Keith, hey, that email really says it all. This is a man who's listened for years, only wrote in this week, but he knows us, and he's with us, and we're with him.
Well, they say bread cast on the waters will come back to you. This is what... is that, you know, we probably have no idea how many people actually listen to this show and how many people are influenced by it. And those in our audience need to know that. We are doing this as a labor of love. We're not getting paid to do this. We're basically meeting expenses. But we do it because it's our mission in life. We feel like it's very, very important for our viewpoint as Christian, paleo-conservatives, alt-righters, or whatever you want to call us, gets expressed, because other people are making millions of dollars to give, to pursue careers giving the opposite viewpoint. And we are a voice in the wilderness, and we need your help to keep doing it. And we think that it's, you can see by the rise of the alt-right, by the Trump election, that we're having an effect. There is an effect. There is a sea change going on in American society and Western society today. And we feel like we're on the cutting edge of it, James.
Well, listen to this one, Keith. Another first-time writer into the political system. Another first-time donor, as Brandon was in Colorado. First-time writer, first-time donor. Listen to this from Kathy in Alberta, Canada. Listen to this. I'm writing you, dear James, I'm writing you from Edmonton, the capital of the Canadian province of Alberta. When I awake Saturday mornings in happy anticipation, I set my iPad alarm to 8:55 p.m. to catch your show that evening. The Irish gift of gab is my fondest memory of my two happy years living in Dublin. And you folks on the political cesspool have that same gift as you passionately discuss the issues of concern to you. Enclosed is a contribution of $100. That comes from Kathy from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, Keith. And she writes in perfect cursive. They don't even teach that in schools anymore. But I want to thank Kathy. I want to thank Brandon.
They're good people everywhere, and even up in the Great White North, as they call Canada, and particularly in the western provinces, there are a lot of self-sufficient good people who are of the pioneer stock still up there. And Kathy, God bless you. Thanks for reaching out to us, and we hope you will basically spread the word and get other people involved in your locality.
It's not millions of dollars worth of sponsorships that keep us on the air. It's the $50 contribution from Brandon. It's the $100 contribution from Kathy. It's the $5 contribution, the $10 contribution. It's Jim in Lincoln, Nebraska, who sent in a note today. Hey, James and gang, hope things are going well. Here's a little more money. Thank you for all you do, Jim. Thank you. It's Philip in Granite City, Illinois. Here's some spare change for the cesspool boys. Long live the South, and God bless the alt-right wherever they may be. Long live the South from a listener in Granite City, Illinois. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Jim. It's the contributors that we've received this week, the contributions from listeners in Nashville, Tennessee, Beecher, Illinois, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Thank you, Stan. St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you, Lon. Bloomington, Illinois. Greenville, South Carolina. TheDixieRepublic.com. Parksville, British Columbia. Ben Wheeler, Texas. Moreno Valley, California. Loves Park, Illinois. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Ron in Baton Rouge, you've always been good to us. We love you, brother. Bronx, New York. White River Junction, Vermont. Have you even heard of that place? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Littleton, Colorado. Gallatin, Tennessee. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rich. We love you. Winnipeg, Manitoba, Little Rock, Arkansas. It was a big week for contributions from Canada and Illinois for some reason. They stepped up to the plate.
Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. This is what we need. You know, hearing from people that we really don't even expect or suspect are out there is one of the most joyous events in our lives. We want you to know how glad we are that we have fans and admirers in far-flung places. All over the world we have.
You didn't know you had a listener in White River Junction, Vermont.
No, I didn't. Not at all. In fact, I'm going to look it up and find out where it is now.
Did you know there was actually a Confederate raid that took place in Vermont? Does anybody know that?
I have a movie about that. It stars Van Heflin. Okay, it's called The Raid, and it was made by a Mexican anti-war director. And it is a famous movie. I have a copy of that, and quite frankly, we need to make copies of that and make that another one of our
an attorney in Washington, D.C., who never misses a show. You know who you are, sir, and we love you. And he sent me a print, a painting, I guess is what I'm getting at, of this raid in Vermont. And we have it, of course, hanging in the office. So thank you for that. Anyway, bottom line is, we have listeners everywhere, from big cities, metropolitan areas, to small hamlets, in America, in Canada, across the Western world. If you want to donate before the end of our third quarter fundraising drive tonight at midnight, you got a couple of hours left to go. $100 or more gets you the book from Andrew Fraser, who you've heard from this hour. But $5, $10, $25, $50, hey, it all keeps us on the air. But we will send you this 500-page epic book, which we barely scratched the surface of tonight. I hope we came close to doing it justice. You'll get it for $100 or more. Donate tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and you'll be counted among the heroes who have helped keep us on the air this quarter. Thank you, Keith. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is sliding in. We're going to talk about the Nashville church shooting from a church perspective. You don't want to miss that.
Is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.